Father, we pray that we may hear your word today. We pray that we may see new life and will become better followers of Jesus. Amen. Better? Is that okay? Or not? More? Keep going up. How's that? That's all right. Good. Last week I was preaching out in the country. And I sat down there, but the chair was at the bottom of the steps. And when I sat down, I realized that the congregation was above me because they were all on pews. And so I was doing this. Anyway, it's good to be here. Our subject this morning is We Are Witnesses, and that's based on the passage from Acts that we heard read to us. Witnesses deal in evidence. Witnesses give testimony. We are witnesses. When we went to Kenya, we were asked to preach in the villages wherever we were sent, and we went two by two. And the bishop said, one of you must preach and one of you must give testimony. And this was the custom with visitors, because some people respond to teaching and some people respond to testimony. I respond to testimony instantly because it's real and it's first-hand. And witnesses deal in real and first-hand. Teaching explains things. So I hope this morning that I can mix the two up a bit. But the angel told the apostles to go out and preach the gospel, to go out and be witnesses of what they'd seen. Witnesses are very important. History couldn't take place without witnesses. History would be nothing. History is all about what somebody saw, experienced, or did, and that's what everything is based on. So the important people at this time were the apostles, and also some of the ladies. Mary Magdalene is the most important witness of the lot. She was the first person who saw Jesus, and she came back and she bore witness to that fact to the other disciples. Some of you may have seen the film on Tuesday night entitled The Case for Christ. It was a great film and portrayed the quest of a legally trained journalist to prove the existence of Jesus, and it's about what happened to him as he discovered the evidence. If you get a chance to see it, see it. It answers most of the questions that people stumble over, and I think answers them really well. 68 years ago, an eminent Christian QC lawyer and expert on Islamic law called Sir Norman Anderson wrote a book entitled The Evidence for the Resurrection. It was a very big seller at the time, and I remember listening to him preach in All Saints Woodford Wells, and he preached a summary of the book he'd written. It was quite simply a superbly argued case, relying on hard evidence and calling witnesses to support his argument. By the time he'd finished speaking, no one was in any doubt that the resurrection was true and had really happened. We are witnesses. I think that gospel, that epistle from Acts, the reading that we had, would almost be the one that Open Doors should choose. Open Doors is a charity that ministers to persecuted Christians, to Christians who are locked up, and I'm sure many of them who are locked up would pray that an angel would release them so that they too could be witnesses. And if ever you've heard any of the people that they've brought over to this country who have been locked up in other parts of the world to give witness to what happened, you will know the enthusiasm with which they deliver their testimony. It is quite remarkable. And sometimes, as we saw from that passage, Christians are told to obey the law. The apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, which is a sort of mixture of parliament and the high court. And they were asked, they were told not to preach, and they were asked why they preached. And they said quite simply, because we have to obey God's law. And sometimes we are put into that situation. Paul clearly said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But if God says otherwise, then we have to choose. And the right choice is always to obey God. Because if God is asking you to do something for him, then he will protect you. He may not protect you physically, but he will certainly protect you spiritually. So have no fear. If he has asked you to witness, then witness. Take courage and witness. This title is one that I think produces three different reactions in people. The first is obvious. Yes, we know we should witness, and we're doing it. The second is, yes, I want to be a witness, of course I do, but I don't know how, or I don't know where to begin, or I've done a bit of training, but it's still very difficult. And the third, which possibly applies to many of us, what a great idea, and I know that it's what Jesus commanded, but others do it so much better than I do, so I'll leave it to them and we'll all have a much better job done. How often have we thought that? Oh, you do it better than I do. I said to somebody the other day, let's pray. And they said, no, you pray, you do it better than I do. And I said, well, I'm not going to say a word. Now what are we going to do? Although I knew that God had called me to ministry at an early age, I'd never given a great deal of thought to this aspect of ministry until much later. I think I realized that I would probably have to witness if I wanted to go ahead with ministry, but in the meantime, I would be a doer of good works and keep my head down if I was ever asked to say something about what I believed. Have you ever felt like that?
No.
I'm not really here. It wasn't deliberate avoidance, more a gentle way of saying that I thought I was better at showing rather than doing, than speaking. But as always, when you get nearer to obedience to God, he starts to show you how the so-called difficult things are easier than you thought. I think it was about 2000 or 2001. We went away to Hailey on a church weekend. It was led by the then vicar of a large evangelical church in Canterbury, St Mary's Breedon. He'd brought a team with him, and during the weekend, each member of the team gave their testimony. They were his witnesses to the way that Jesus had led them thus far. The more I listened, the more fascinated I became, and the more convinced I became that this was not something that I could do, just as I thought. The last person to witness was a clearly nervous man in his 40s, who told us that he worked in a bank and had only been a Christian for a short time, and he'd never stood up and spoken about his Christian faith and how he had come to believe. I hate the word I'm going to use because I'm never sure what it means. But this guy was normal. I think you know what I mean. Everybody was listening. I remember thinking, I could do this, this is easy. It was as though I'd been ambushed about my fear. Suddenly, the impossible became very possible. And what I now needed was opportunity. God had completely turned me round without me almost realizing. As you get nearer to obedience to God, the difficult becomes easier. So as you begin to feel that actually I think I need to be giving my testimony or witnessing or talking about Jesus, the more you hear God's prodding you, the more you will realize that it is easier than you thought. So we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses because the angel told the apostles, and the apostles told the disciples, and the disciples have told all the other disciples, and that's you and me. Go into the marketplace and witness. Be a witness to what you know. Be a witness to what you've experienced. Be a witness to Jesus, for Jesus. We usually say, and I've said it this morning, Happy Easter to people. Maybe we should change the greeting to Jesus Christ is risen today. And add Alleluia if you want to. Because Jesus Christ is risen today. He is alive. He is alive in the form of his Spirit. He is alive so that we can have a personal relationship with him. He is alive so that we can experience him. And we can share that, those experiences and what he means to each one of us with other people. We don't have to stand up and preach a sermon. We're not teaching people about the Bible or about the Christian, about the Christian life. We are giving a witness to what Jesus has done for us. Just like the nervous man did. He got up and he was normal and said, this is what it means to me. And that's when the penny dropped. And I thought, I can do that. That's not so difficult. All I've got to do is be myself and share a story. And everybody loves stories. Somebody said to me, whenever you preach a sermon, you should always include a story because that'll wake up the ones that have gone to sleep. And everybody's still wide awake this morning. That's wonderful. Someone else said to me, a dear friend who's a clergyman, said to me, do you know the best evangelists are the newly converted or the elderly? The newly converted because they're bursting with enthusiasm to share what's happened. And the elderly because time is running out and they realize they haven't said enough. Now that is ageism if ever I heard it. But it's true, isn't it? When we get, or when you get, some of you get to a certain age, and I think I'm nearly there, not quite, you realize that you haven't said enough, you haven't witnessed enough. Start witnessing now. Start talking about Jesus. Bring the conversation round to Jesus and what he means to you. If Easter's about anything, it's about new life. And when you get enthusiastic about your own life, it feels real, it feels new, it's authentic. And that's what Easter is about. It's authentic. And we need to tell people. People are desperate to know in this world, how do we get it right? What should we be doing? It's an awful mess. Everywhere we look is a mess. How can we get it right? And the answer is simply, tell them about Jesus. They may not agree with you and they may think you're a bit wacky, but you will have sown the seed and that is all you have to do. And if you're still doubting, remember this, if you're prepared to be obedient, God will equip you. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Give the reason for the hope that you have. And it goes on to say this, but do this with gentleness and respect. It's not an in-your-face Bible punch. I'll sock it to them. It's gentle. And if they don't ask, steer it so that they do. You can always steer the conversation round so that somebody says, how did that happen then? Why do you say that? Why do you feel that way about it? And then the opening is there. They've asked you the question. But you have to be prepared. And you have to be normal. Just be yourself. Remember to write things down that happened to you in a book somewhere or in a piece of paper that you keep in your Bible so that you can remind yourself. Before you are sent off for ordination training, you have to write a whole series of stuff, questions mainly. But one of the things is that you're asked to write your story. How did you get to this point? I have a copy of that form, and when I get really down in the dumps, and I do because I'm normal, I get that out and I read it and I remind myself of just what God said to me, just how he called, and that lifts me back up again. So be prepared to have those stories ready. Read your Bible, watch a film, listen to music, get into the groove of being with Jesus so that when you're asked about him, it's easy. The thing we have to do is to be good witnesses, because Jesus died to set us free through the shedding of his blood. But he didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and remains alive today. We are witnesses of that, and we are witnesses to that. And we have to be witnesses because we're commanded to be witnesses. And actually, we should want to be witnesses. So I hope that this Easter will be a turning point for any of us that have fallen silent. As you come to meet with the risen Christ in this communion service, ask the Lord to refresh you or even to renew you or to make you a new creation for him so that you leave here today wanting to witness, wanting to tell people, just as though you'd been recently converted, that freshness, that crispness. So I hope and pray that that's what Easter this year will mean to each one of you.